Okay, so get this, listeners. Today, we're diving deep, deep into the book of Joshua.
Ooh, deep.
But, you know, we're not just here for the battles and the conquests.
Right.
We're going way deeper.
Okay.
Looking at how this book, well, it's almost like a literary time machine, you know?
I like that. Yeah.
Connecting those dots between all those promises made centuries before and the events that unfold, like, way after.
Right.
Think of it as a hinge in this grand narrative of the Bible.
It's fascinating, isn't it? This one book looking both backward and forward.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, we're using a lecture by Dr. David Howard.
Okay.
Who, you know, he's all about that literary context of Joshua.
Yeah.
But before we get all scholarly on you.
Right, right.
Let's just start with something familiar.
Okay.
The first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, they're traditionally attributed to Moses.
Right. And his death at the end of Deuteronomy, it provides like a natural break in terms of the author and, well, and just the narrative focus.
Yeah.
And then we get Joshua, who picks up the story as the Israelites finally enter the Promised Land.
So, on the surface, it seems like a pretty straightforward transition, you know?
Sure.
But some scholars came up with this theory called the Hexateuch.
The Hexateuch.
Yeah. And essentially, they're seeing Joshua as part of a six-part work.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like extending the narrative arc of those first five books.
So, they're saying that Joshua, like, represents the culmination of all those promises made to Abraham and his descendants. It's like this finally arriving moment after, like, generations of just, like, longing and anticipation.
It makes sense when you think about it, you know, that forward momentum of those first five books. It's all about striving towards the Promised Land.
Yeah.
So having Joshua as like the grand finale where they settle in and begin their life in the land, it just feels natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the idea of resolution after all that yearning is powerful, no doubt.
Yeah.
But the Hexateuch theory, it started to like lose support.
Why is that?
Well, as scholars began questioning whether Moses actually wrote the entire Pentateuch, and if he didn't, then that neat fit of Joshua as, like, the concluding chapter becomes less compelling.
Yeah, makes sense. So, okay, so if not the Hexateuch, then what?
Well, back in the 1940s, this German scholar, Martin Knopf, he threw another intriguing theory into the mix.
Oh, okay.
He called it the Deuteronomistic history.
The Deuteronomistic history.
Yeah, and instead of seeing Joshua as the conclusion, he argued that Deuteronomy was the real starting point.
So instead of ending with Moses' death, the story just keeps going through Joshua, Judges, Samuel, even Kings.
Yeah.
That's a pretty bold claim.
It is, but Knopf had his reasons.
Okay.
He pointed out how Deuteronomy, it lays out these overarching themes.
Like what?
Well, like obedience and, you know, consequences of disobedience.
All right.
That they play out in vivid detail in the later books.
Okay.
For him, it wasn't necessarily about single authorship, you see.
Yep.
It was more about recognizing a thematic unity.
A thematic unity across all those books.
Exactly.
With Deuteronomy acting as the foundation.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have these two pretty compelling theories here, both trying to explain where Joshua fits in the grand scheme of things.
It's that's what makes Joshua so fascinating.
Okay.
Both the Hexateuch and the Deuteronomistic history, they have merit.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a hinge book.
A hinge.
Yeah.
I like that. But how does that work? What are we hinging between?
Okay, so think of it this way. Imagine like a door hinge connecting two rooms.
Right.
On one side of the hinge, you have the past. All those promises to Abraham, the generations wandering in the wilderness.
Right.
And on the other side of the hinge, you have the future.
Yeah.
Israel's triumphs and failures as they navigate life in the Promised Land.
Right.
And Joshua is that hinge.
Oh, I see.
Allowing movement between those two spaces.
Okay, that image, that really helps. So Joshua is both the fulfillment of past promises.
Yes.
And the starting point for this whole new chapter in Israel's story.
Exactly.
It's like standing on a mountaintop, looking back at the path you climbed.
Yeah.
But also gazing ahead at this vast landscape stretching before you.
Exactly. That dual perspective, it's key to understanding the unique role of Joshua in the biblical narrative. It's not just some like isolated account of conquest.
Right.
It's a bridge between two eras.
A bridge.
Yeah, a pivotal moment that shapes everything that comes after it.
So we've got this hinge concept. But how does that change, like, how we actually read and understand the book of Joshua?
Well, it adds layers of depth and meaning.
Meaning, yeah.
We can appreciate Joshua not just as a standalone historical account.
Right.
But as an integral part of a much larger story.
Yeah.
You know, this interconnected story.
Right.
And that changes everything.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that.
Right.
But I think we need to kind of unpack these two perspectives a bit more, looking back and looking forward.
Yeah.
Let's start with looking back. How does Joshua specifically fulfill the promises of the past?
Okay, well, remember those early promises God made to Abraham?
Yeah.
A land flowing with milk and honey.
Right.
A nation descended from him.
Yeah. Huh.
That would be a blessing to the world. For centuries, those promises, they felt distant, almost like a dream.
Right. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years.
Exactly.
Like the ultimate test of patience.
Exactly. But then we get to Joshua and we witness those ancient promises coming to fruition in a spectacular way.
Yeah, in a spectacular way.
The Israelites crossing the Jordan River, parting the waters. That's like a powerful symbol of finally entering the promised land.
Right.
Then there's the conquest of Jericho, you know, a seemingly impenetrable city.
Right.
These events, they demonstrate God's power and faithfulness in a way that, well, it echoes through the ages.
It's like all the waiting, all the hardship they endured, it finally pays off.
Right.
In a way no one could have imagined.
It's a resounding affirmation of God's faithfulness across generations.
Across generations.
But, you know, Joshua also has this forward-looking aspect, as we were discussing.
Yeah.
How does it set the stage for what's to come
in
Israel's story? What do you think?
Well, that's what I find so intriguing. You know, it's not just a smooth, effortless conquest.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There are challenges and setbacks.
Yeah.
And even moral complexities, you know, that seem to foreshadow, like, the struggles Israel is going to face later on.
That's a great observation. Joshua doesn't shy away from those complexities.
Right.
For example, there are those moments where the Israelites, they disobey God's commands and they suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
It reminds us that, you know, possessing the land, it's just the beginning. The real test is whether they will remain faithful to God and live according to his covenant.
So it's not all sunshine and roses once they're in the promised land.
Not at all. And that's crucial because it sets a precedent for everything that follows.
Right.
As we know from, you know, the books that come after Joshua, staying true to the covenant.
Yeah.
It's a struggle that will continue to play out throughout their history.
Yeah.
The seeds of those future struggles, they're sown right here in Joshua.
So Joshua isn't just a happy ending, is it?
Yeah.
It's the beginning of this new chapter.
Yeah.
Filled with promise and peril.
That's a perfect way to put it. And this idea of a new chapter, you know, of looking forward.
Yeah.
It ties in beautifully with that concept of the Deuteronomistic history we discussed earlier.
Right, right.
Remember how Martin Noth argued that Deuteronomy, it lays out the themes for what unfolds in Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings?
Yeah. He saw those overarching themes of obedience and consequences that, you know, that echo.
Yeah, yeah.
Throughout those books.
Yeah.
It was like Deuteronomy was foreshadowing the very things we see in Joshua.
Exactly. And we see the Israelites experiencing blessings when they're obedient.
Right.
And curses when they stray from the path.
Yeah.
It's like the consequences of their choices.
Yeah.
They have these ripple effects that extend far beyond their immediate circumstances.
It's not just about what happens in the moment.
Right.
It's about how their actions, their obedience or disobedience.
Right.
Shape the trajectory of their future.
Yeah.
I'm really starting to see how recognizing Joshua as this hinge book adds a whole other layer of meaning to the story.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If Joshua connects the past and the future in this way, how does that change how we approach it?
It's like we've been given this new lens to view the book, you know?
Exactly.
It's not just about the battles and conquests anymore.
Right.
It's about seeing how the past informs the present.
Yeah.
And how the present shapes the future.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing those echoes of those early promises and the long shadow they cast on Israel's journey.
Right.
What's fascinating to me is that this hinge idea, it's not just relevant to the Israelite story.
Yeah.
It speaks to something universal.
Yeah, true.
About the human experience.
It's a specific historical context.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? What resonates with you?
Well, don't we all carry, like, the legacy of the past with us in some way.
Right.
You know, our family histories, the choices of previous generations, they all influence who we are and the paths we take.
Yeah. And just like the Israelites in Joshua, we face choices that have consequences, not just for ourselves, but for future generations.
Absolutely.
Our actions, they ripple outwards, creating a legacy.
Right.
That extends beyond our own lifespans.
Mm, that's such a profound point. So by understanding Joshua as this hinge book, we're not just learning about ancient history.
Yeah.
We're gaining insights into the nature of time, legacy, and the interconnectedness of our choices.
This has really gotten me thinking.
Right.
But I got to ask,
if
we accept this hinge concept,
how
does that affect, you know, our interpretation of specific events or characters in the book?
Yeah.
Does it change our understanding of Joshua himself?
That's a fantastic question. And the answer is a resounding yes.
Okay.
Seeing Joshua as this this pivotal figure standing at the crossroads of history.
Yeah.
It adds layers of depth and nuance to his character.
I'm ready to hear more.
All right.
Seeing Joshua in this new light
as
a hinge between the past and the future, how does it change our understanding of him?
Well, the traditional view of Joshua often portrays him as this valiant warrior.
Right.
This fearless leader who conquers the promised land with unwavering strength and obedience. A fearless leader who conquers the promised land with unwavering strength and obedience.
Right.
But, you know, there's so much more to Joshua than meets the eye.
Okay.
While that warrior image, it's certainly part of his story.
Yeah.
The hinge perspective reveals a much more complex and, frankly, a much more relatable figure.
Relatable?
Yeah.
How so? He's leading the Israelites into the promised land.
Right.
That doesn't sound very relatable to my everyday life.
Think about it this way.
Right.
He's not just a warrior.
Okay.
He's also a successor.
Okay.
He's stepping into the incredibly large sandals of Moses.
Right, right.
A legendary figure who led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years.
Right.
Can you imagine the pressure of trying to live up to that legacy?
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, having big shoes to fill. And the text actually acknowledges this, you know. Okay. There are moments where Joshua, he expresses doubt, fear, even frustration.
Hmm.
He grapples with that weight of responsibility, seeking guidance and reassurance from God.
So he's not this superhuman figure who never falters.
Not at all.
Wow.
And that's what makes him so relatable.
Yeah.
It shows us that even the greatest leaders experience moments of vulnerability, moments where they, you know, question themselves and their abilities.
Yeah.
He's human, just like us, trying to figure things out as he goes along.
That's a good reminder that even those who seem larger than life still struggle with very human emotions.
Absolutely. And these moments of vulnerability, well, they become even more poignant when we consider that forward-looking aspect of Joshua's story.
Okay.
He's not just leading the Israelites into the promised land.
Right.
He's laying the foundation for their future. Oh. The choices he makes.
Yeah. The battles he fights, they all have these ripple effects.
Wow.
That will shape the destiny of generations to come.
So every decision he makes carries so much weight.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And the hinge perspective.
Yeah.
It allows us to see the consequences of his actions in a new light.
Okay, in a new light.
When Joshua and the Israelites, they make mistakes.
Right.
When they compromise their values or stray from God's commands.
Yeah.
We understand that those aren't just isolated incidents.
Right.
They're setting a dangerous course.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could lead to future downfall.
That adds a whole new level of tension to the story.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It becomes less about the immediate victory.
Right.
And more about the long-term impact.
Right.
Of their choices. In a way, it's a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Reminding us that even the most promising beginnings can be squandered if we're not careful.
So it's not just an ancient account of conquest and settlement. Right.
It's a reflection on leadership, on obedience, and the enduring consequences of our choices.
Yeah.
It's almost like looking at a mirror, isn't it?
Yeah.
Seeing how our own decisions can shape not only our lives,
but
the lives of those who come after us.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of diving deep into these ancient texts, they have the power to illuminate not just the past, but also the present and the future.
This has been such an insightful deep dive.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, what's the one key takeaway
you'd
want our listener to remember about Joshua?
I'd say this. The next time you read the book of Joshua, try to look beyond the battles and conquests.
Okay. Look beyond.
Look for those hinge moments, those points where the past and the future intersect.
Okay.
See Joshua not just as a warrior, but as a human being wrestling with immense responsibility and trying to navigate this this complex and challenging landscape.
That's a great point. It's like we've been given a new set of glasses, you know,
right,
to see the book of Joshua in a whole new light.
Yeah.
It's not just a story about the past.
Right.
It's a story about the human condition.
Exactly.
About the choices we make and the legacies we leave behind.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe by exploring Joshua's journey through this this hinge lens, we might gain some valuable insights into our own lives.
Absolutely.
And the impact we're making on the world around us.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
There's always something new to discover.
Yeah.
When we approach these ancient texts with fresh eyes and an open mind.
That's it for this deep dive into the Book of Joshua.
Great deep dive.
I hope you've enjoyed this journey as much as we have.
Yeah.
Remember, every time we open a book, every time we delve into the past, we have the opportunity to learn something new about ourselves and the world we inhabit.
Absolutely.
Until next time.
Yes. Keep diving deep with unwavering strength and obedience.
Right, right.
But, you know, there's so much more to Joshua than meets the eye.
Okay.
While that warrior image is certainly part of his story.
Yeah.
The hinge perspective.
Right.
It reveals a much more complex and, frankly, a much more relatable figure.
Relatable. How so?
Well, think about it this way.
Okay.
He's not just a warrior.
Right.
He's also a successor.
Right.
He's stepping into the incredibly large sandals, you know, Moses.
Of Moses, right.
This legendary figure who led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine that pressure?
Yeah.
Of trying to live up to that legacy?
I can't even imagine.
Right. Talk about like having big shoes to fill.
Yeah, exactly.
In the text, you know, it actually acknowledges this.
Okay.
There are moments where Joshua, he expresses doubt, fear, even frustration.
Mm-hmm.
He grapples with the weight of responsibility,
right,
seeking guidance, you know, and reassurance from God.
So he's not this superhuman figure who never falters.
No, not at all.
Wow. Okay.
And that's what makes him so relatable.
Yeah.
It shows us that even the greatest leaders.
Yeah. The greatest leaders
experience these moments of vulnerability, moments where they, you know, question themselves and their abilities. He's human just like us.
Right. Human just like us.
Trying to figure things out as he goes along.
That's a good reminder.
Yeah.
That even those who seem larger than life.
Right.
They still struggle with very human emotions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And these moments of vulnerability, well, they become even more poignant, you know, when we consider that forward-looking aspect of Joshua's story.
Of Joshua's story.
He's not just leading the Israelites into the promised land.
Right.
He's laying the foundation for their future.
Right.
The choices he makes.
Yeah.
The battles he fights, they all have these, you know, ripple effects that will shape the destiny of generations to come.
So every decision.
Yeah.
Every decision he makes.
Yes.
Carries so much weight.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And the hinge perspective, it allows us to see the consequences of his actions in this new light.
Okay, in a new light.
When Joshua and the Israelites, you know, when they make mistakes, when they compromise their values or stray from God's commands, we understand that those aren't just isolated incidents.
Right.
They're setting a dangerous course.
Right, they're setting a dangerous course.
That could lead to future downfall.
It really adds a whole new level of tension to the story.
It does, doesn't it? It becomes less about the immediate victory and more about the long-term impact.
The long-term impact.
Yeah, of their choices.
Right, of the choices.
In a way, it's a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Reminding us that even the most promising beginnings
yeah.
can be squandered
right.
if we're not careful.
So it's not just an ancient account of conquest and settlement.
No.
It's a reflection on leadership,
yeah.
on obedience,
yeah.
and the enduring consequences of our choices.
Yeah.
It's almost like looking in a mirror, isn't it?
It is.
Seeing how our own decisions can shape not only our own lives,
right.
but the lives of those who come after us.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of diving deep into yeah. these ancient texts.
Yeah.
They have the power to illuminate
yeah.
not just the past, but also the present and
oh.
the future.
This has been such an insightful deep dive.
It has.
I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Me too.
So for anyone listening, I hope that you've enjoyed this journey.
Absolutely.
As much as we have.
Yeah.
And remember, every time we open a book.
Right.
Every time we delve into the past.
Yeah.
We have this this opportunity to learn something new.
Right.
About ourselves and the world we inhabit.
Couldn't agree more.
So until next time.
Yes.
Keep diving deep.